Let us pray together. Eternal God, in the reading of the Scripture, may your word be heard. In the meditations of our hearts, may your word be known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, may your word be shown. Amen.
Hello. We have a reading from Acts 13, verses 1 through 3, followed by chapter 14, 8 through 18. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. In Lystra, there sat a man crippled in his feet, who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking. Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, and called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priests of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates, because he and the crowd wanted to offer sacrifices to them. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of this, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd shouting, "Men, why are you doing this? We too are only men, human like you. We are bringing you good news, telling you to turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made heaven and earth and sea and everything in them. In the past, he let all nations go their own way, yet he has not left himself without testimony. He has known kindness by giving you rain from heaven and crops in their seasons. He provides you with plenty of food and fills your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they had difficulty keeping the crowd from sacrificing to them. Thus endeth the reading.
Good morning. How are you on this rainy day? Do you know what the rain is doing? Look how green everything is out there. I know we get tired of seeing cloudy days, but I had a long drive and everything is green. Flowers are blooming. It's just beautiful. God is really great. Today, I'm just going to take a minute to talk about, what day is this today?
Mother's
Day. And I just want to say, God has blessed us since he made Eve. Remember, he made Adam and Eve? First he made Adam, and he said, Adam needs a mate. So he made a woman, and that was Eve. She was the first mother. She had two boys. God has blessed women ever since he created Eve. And I think we have to remember today and every day for all the women in the world who have become mothers, who have become aunts, their sisters, and best friends. And every one of them has such a talent. And the main talent they have is the love that God puts in their heart to love everybody that they come in contact with. So today and every day, I want us to remember our mothers and all the other women that we know and that maybe someday we'll get to meet. And we're going to be kind and love them too. And we're always going to be thankful to God, right? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you today with grateful hearts, full of praise, caring, and love for you and for the beautiful women you have created and put on this earth. Help us, Father, to remember each one of them every day of our lives, how you have blessed us through them. Be with us now and keep us safe through this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Growing up in the Morningside Reformed Church in Sioux City, Iowa, there were gods in the congregation. Well, at least through the eyes of a 5-year-old, 6-year-old. There were people in the congregation who were larger than life. They were almost all old, but they were revered. There was like this aura around them. They were treated with respect. When they spoke, people would listen. My grandfather was one of these people. So imagine my surprise one Sunday morning. It was New Year's Day, somewhere right around New Year's Day. We're standing up singing a hymn. My saintly grandfather is next to me. And the reason why I remember it was New Year's Eve is because it was college bowl season. The hymn, it's one of these, you know, old stately hymns. You're singing about the crimson stains. And I heard my grandfather singing about the Crimson Tide. As you know, is Alabama's mascot for their football team, their college football team. Look and say, what is this? It's like the bubble is burst. It's like the first time as a kid you see your elementary school teacher in the grocery store, and you think to yourself, what are you doing away from school? Do you have these people in mind? For you, that in your mind they were gods, and then you found out they were only human? Maybe your mother or your grandmother is one of these people. Growing up, you see them one way, and then you become perhaps a mother or aunt for yourself, and you realize that all of the things that your own mother, grandmother, aunts struggled with, and never let on, perhaps. They were only human. Sometimes Bible characters can take on this aura for us, these larger-than-life people that we place upon a pedestal, people who could not possibly do any wrong. Perhaps they're second only to Jesus himself. Well, Paul is one of these people, right? I mean, he basically wrote half of the Bible, at least that's kind of how we think of it anyway. We tend to forget that Paul himself was a broken individual. We fail to remember that Paul was present at the stoning of one of the very first evangelists, Stephen. We forget that Paul was a great persecutor of the church. But you know who didn't forget that? Paul. And his friends, the people that he was persecuting. Which is why it is so amazing that Paul is listed among the prophets and teachers whom the Holy Spirit calls to go and do something amazing. We're told in Acts 13 that there is this group of people, and the Holy Spirit comes upon them one day while they are fasting and praying and worshiping, and they call out Paul and Barnabas to go out into the world extending the good news of Jesus Christ. And it means they have to leave the comfort of their own culture, and they have to cross a huge boundary, in this case, the sea. They have to cross the sea to this other place, this strange culture, Lystra. And when Paul and Barnabas get there, they find a man who has been crippled from birth by broken feet and legs. And Paul and Barnabas do what many of the disciples were doing in those days, following in the footsteps of Jesus, saying, "Stand up, walk. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you are healed." And that's exactly what the man does. He stands up and walks, which is something that has happened many times by this point in the Bible. If you are reading along in our year-long Bible challenge, we're into John's Gospel, and in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, this is fairly commonplace, right? Not only does Jesus do this, but his disciples do it too. But they've never done it in a place like this. Because people see this happen. They see Paul and Barnabas walk up, speak to this man who has never been able to walk, and he stands up and walks. And the people, viewing this miraculous thing through their own filter, their own lens, come to the obvious conclusion. These are gods walking among us. Zeus and Hermes have come to our fair city. And they start to revere Paul and Barnabas. They get the priest from the local Zeus temple, and he starts to bring forth animals for sacrifice. It's a barbecue in Paul and Barnabas' name, except Paul and Barnabas aren't Paul and Barnabas. They're Zeus and Hermes. Now, if you're not familiar with the Greek pantheon of gods, Zeus is basically the father of many of the other gods and father of many other children on earth as well. Zeus gets around, if you know what I mean. And he has a messenger named Hermes, who has winged boots and flies here and there and spreads Zeus's words around to various different places. And since Paul is the one who never stops talking, they say that must be Hermes. The other one, the silent one, must be Zeus. Which in our minds, Paul always takes on the first place. We don't talk about Barnabas and Paul. It doesn't roll off the tongue quite as well as Paul and Barnabas, right? And yet here for them, Barnabas is the important one, while Paul is just the messenger. Now you have to see the humor in this, my friends. This is like an absolute circus breaking out around Paul and Silas. We have trouble imagining things like this happening because, well, you know, if a doctor heals you of something, you don't make sacrifices to your doctor. Well, medical bills, I guess, are sort of like sacrifices to your doctor. But you don't go and grab the oxen and start to slaughter them and make burnt offerings, but that's exactly what's happening. And Paul is adamant. When they see what's going on, Paul and Barnabas, they're horrified by this. Why? Well, because they're doing this in the name of Jesus. They're just trying to proclaim Jesus to this new culture. And they realize fairly quickly that they are in way over their heads. Because these folks don't have any frame of reference for what's going on. The only logical explanation for them is that Paul and Barnabas must be gods. We see this sometimes in mission work. When the gospel comes to a new place, sometimes the folks who are bringing the message have a hard time getting the message across because of language differences, because of cultural differences. Interestingly, the Catholic Church is great at this kind of thing. It's the reason why you'll find Catholic churches in so many different cultures, in so many different places, in so many different languages, because our Roman Catholic friends are very good at explaining the gospel through the cultural lens of the culture they're going to. I went to Haiti a few years ago and was surprised to walk into this village where I swore that there was a voodoo temple. But when I got a little bit closer, I saw a statue of the Virgin Mary instead. In voodooism, women take a very prominent role. So what the Catholic Church did is they went in and they saw the statue of these women and they say, oh, actually, it's just the wrong woman that you're revering. Here, this is the one you should revere instead, Mary, who is the mother of God. Amazing, amazing stuff. Sometimes I think that we as Christians spend so much time with our own people that we've lost the ability to effectively communicate our faith to the strange culture that we find around us here. Generations have passed away all around us of people who have never, ever set foot in a church. And so we talk about things like grace and justification by faith, and we call this a sanctuary and that a narthex, and these are pews, and we have all of these strange words and customs around things, and we have trouble connecting. So what did Paul and Barnabas do? Well, they had to find some way to connect with these Zeus worshipers. They had to talk about a common humanity. And so, interestingly enough, at least as it is brought forth to us in Acts, Paul and Barnabas don't talk about Jesus. Isn't that strange? They don't walk into Lystra and amidst all of the sacrifices, they don't just shout as loud as they can, Jesus died for your sins, repent and believe the good news. Why not? Because the Lystrans have no idea what that means. They don't get it. So instead, Paul talks about a common humanity. We're humans, just like you are. We're men, just like you. Except we don't worship these worthless things. We worship the living God. And let me tell you about the living God. You see how it's raining outside right now? Yeah. It's not because Zeus is crying. It's because the living God sends the rain. It nourishes the earth. Paul connects with them where they are. At least he tries to. One detail that we shouldn't miss is that writer of Acts tells us that no matter what Paul says, he can't get them to stop sacrificing to him and Barnabas. His words don't really connect. This is very early on in Paul's missionary journeys. I think Paul learns a lesson from this encounter. Because from this time forward, when Paul goes into new communities, he starts in the synagogues. He begins by preaching among those with whom he has some common language, and then once he learns the culture, then he begins to branch out and speak in terms that would make more sense to the people who are there. Is that a lesson that we are capable of learning? How to take what we do here in our worshiping community and yet with one foot planted firmly out in the rest of society, think about how best to translate our faith to those for whom our customs might be strange, who might see the things that we do and interpret them through their own lenses, whatever that might be, who might look at our generosity and our giving as just another way to keep from paying taxes, or who might see our altruistic work with Habitat for Humanity or food pantries and interpret those things as, well, they must know someone who will help them to get ahead. Because that's what our society is really about. When we do charitable activities, it still benefits us somehow. If we're going to do work, charitable work out in the world, it must be because we get some benefit out of it. Is that a language that we can speak into? Can we live our lives in such a way that the mission work we do out there that crosses those cultural boundaries away from our churched place out into an unchurched culture, exhibiting the self-sacrificial nature of Jesus Christ? We won't do it perfectly. We might get it wrong. Heck, we see Paul as a god sometimes, and he gets it wrong all the time. He's only human. You and me, we're only human. But the Holy Spirit calls us, just as it called Paul and Barnabas, to be bold in crossing those boundaries, to take bold steps of faith out of the relative safety of 475 Lafayette Avenue and the relative safety of our church net into the places we work, the places we gather, the places we shop, our family gatherings, the brunch that maybe you're going to in a few minutes if I ever stop talking. The Holy Spirit calls us, friends, to connect on a human-to-human level with our fellow human beings and to present in language they understand, in concepts that they can understand, the faith that brings such meaning and fullness to our lives, our faith in the living God, whom we call Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that leads us into the world, challenging us to express our faith in ways that will make sense to people who may not find themselves in a church on a regular basis. Give us creativity. Give us minds and hearts to understand how best to connect in meaningful ways with other people. expressing the faith that we have in you to them as well. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.